Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about the Enneagram and how it can illuminate our ability to emotionally regulate for ourselves and for our kids. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and welcome to my Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their story of inspiration and learning. Because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to learn from our guest speaker, Erin Bowdy. And Erin is a development coach that uses the Enneagram model for personality to guide her clients to greatness and help them reach their full potential. So I'm really excited to have her on today and to learn all about this. Thank you for being here, Erin.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start off with, what is an Enneagram and how did you get into this?
That's a really great question. So when I started working with the Enneagram, I got a lot of the Ennea what? Like, how do you say it? What is it? And it's a model of personality. It's a behavioral archetypal model. So we know these kinds of models like Myers-Briggs or the DISC assessment or StrengthFinders, and they all sort of create language around archetype of behavior so that we can increase our understanding. And I really fell in love with the Enneagram when I came across it because it went deeper than just categorizing behavior. It helped illuminate motivation, the why behind it. And we could really work a whole lot more with folks and meeting them where they are when we understand why, not just what we do, right? So I'm a behaviorist by trade. I've been working in the field of behavior change for about 20 years. And the Enneagram was one tool that found its way in my path, and I just fell in love with it. It helped sort of expedite the process of shifting in a way I hadn't seen before.
And tell me more about how you use it personally. How did this grow into you?
Well, I have this whole professional career, but when I was introduced to the Enneagram, it was through work. And at the time in my life, I really needed it for me. And so I was like, yeah, I get that this can help my job, but like, this is really what I needed to help put language around some of my pinches and my pain points. And so I started to really dig into the tool in my own work and in therapy and in healing and for my personal integration. And then it sort of leaked out to my professional self after that. But it was very much for me at a place in my life where I needed it.
And how accessible is this? Is it something I can find online, or do I have to come to a coach for it?
You can literally find it everywhere now, which is a really great thing. So if you're on Instagram, there's thousands of accounts on Instagram that are helping to break out the archetypal patterns. You can listen to podcasts, books, watch videos. There are coaches, there are teachers, but it has become excessively more accessible, which is great. Also, then it gets a little diluted, right? So we have to use some critical thinking around, am I going to use this to create language around Disney characters, or am I going to use it to understand maybe why I get triggered in life or at work, right? It's there for both.
Well, that brings me into my next question, and how can I use this for parenting? Because that's what we really want to know here on The Impactful Parent.
Yeah. So if it helps or if it feels in the right flow to kind of back into my story a little bit, that it's really how it became helpful for me in my parenting and why I needed it. I discovered the Enneagram, as I said, through work, but it wasn't until parenting that I recognized how much I needed it. I was told I couldn't have kids. We were dealt with some fertility issues. And in that process, we said, okay, we're going to explore adoption. We spent 2 years doing all the deep work around getting approved for adoption. And we were planning on meeting with birth parents, right? We're at the end of it in terms of preparatory, and now you're into matching. And I was really sick. And it turns out that I was 12 weeks pregnant. And so in the state of Ohio, where we lived at the time, you couldn't be pregnant and adopt. And so we had to put a pause on that part of the process. And I had a lot of mixed feelings. I had a lot of grief. I had a lot of unknowns around, I was told I couldn't do this and now I can. And now this other path is shifting. And on top of it, I had a really, really hard pregnancy. I was very, very, very sick and then had a pretty traumatic birthing process. And so just a lot of feelings that I had to deal with. As a result of that, my daughter was born with some pretty significant neurological challenges. She's considered neurodiverse. She's perfect and lovely and beautiful, and also required more from me as a parent than I was equipped or ready for or had to sort of be met with. And so as I was in this dealing with my own feelings and my own emotions, and now having to meet her differently, it was pulling on all the resources I had been preaching about and teaching at work that I knew sort of consciously, but didn't yet have it practiced or integrated into my body. And it was parenting her that forced me to reconcile what I thought with what was in me and learn the art of being embodied and whole and present and regulating so that I could be a safe container and a safe place for her as she grew and developed. So she's almost seven now. And while I've had a long career and I'm finishing my PhD, I often say she's my greatest teacher. I've learned the most from her because of what she's asked me to be and to do. And so I have this sort of belief that I wish every CEO had the same capacity around, being in the moment and being present and learning how to regulate like special needs kiddos teach us to do.
Oh, definitely. I cannot agree with you more. And not just special needs kiddos. And I tell you, parenting in general brings out so much in you that you didn't know you had inside of you, good and bad. And you got to work on things that you didn't resolve in the past that you didn't realize were a problem anymore. I mean, parenting brings it all up to the surface. And we learn so much from parenting and from our children than, just about anything in life. It's pretty amazing, actually. So what are some tools that I can use to emotionally regulate then using this Enneagram that you're talking about?
So the Enneagram is a way in which we can identify our patterns, right? The things that trigger us, the gifting in us. Once we figure out where we sit within the model, what our personality is, we can understand what we're really good at and we can understand our opportunities. And it's a map, a way in to be embodied in terms of how I think, how I feel, and how I behave, right? So typically, folks get really good at one of those areas. We have folks who orient in the world around how people make them feel. We have people who orient in the world around what they think cognitively. And then we have people who orient in the world around instinct or intuition, right? I just know something is right or wrong. And our work is to really learn to use all three, not just the one we got good at, right? So ultimately, that's what it can look like to be emotionally intelligent, is to have enough capacity to be triggered or have a reaction in parenting and slow down enough to go, what do I think about this? How is it making me feel? And what's happening in my body? What is my nervous system? Is it clicking? Is it making me anxious? Is it making me angry? And then assessing all of that before I take action, right? And so it's the mind-body-heart approach of the Enneagram for me that aligns so beautifully to things like trauma-informed parenting, which ask us to regulate body first, then we reconnect emotionally, and then we reason, right? We get into the sort of learning lesson in it. And our sort of capacity and emotional intelligence is to use those three tools as well. What do I think sort of instinctually? How do I get back into my body? how do I connect emotionally, and then how do I problem solve? So there's some beautiful synergies in that as a practice in the midst of problem solving.
This really sounds interesting to me. And it also sounds like something that once you can really use it and learn how to implement it, you can also identify it in your children, which then mm-hmm. allows you to be a better parent to them too, because now you're understanding your kids on a different level. Am I wrong? Right.
No, that's exactly it, right? And just like as adult individuals, you know, when we can sort of be authentically who we are and met where we are, we get seen and validated and we create understanding as a way to get more quickly into the problem solving work. And so when we can do that for our kiddos, it is a way in which we can meet them where they are and help them sort of regulate and problem solve more quickly. The biggest barrier for us in between that is our level of awareness, our level of how well do I know myself? How well do I know what triggers me? And how well do I recover from that trigger in order to make room for them, right? And that's, for me, where the Enneagram becomes a really powerful tool. Is it can help me name those things and then hit fast forward on it.
Those are really big questions. So it sounds to me like if this is the kind of work that you're wanting to dive into, you also need to be pretty committed to being real and ready for yourself and those real answers, because otherwise it doesn't seem like it would work.
Right, right. This is all about getting really clear about who we are. And being able to hold the parts of us that are beautiful and in our gifting and unique, and also hold the parts of us that are messy and imperfect and tender, and having the capacity and the safe places to land when we're in those tender spaces, right? Because from my experience, people and kiddos are more interested in the recovery, right, than I am in how sort of perfect we were in the first attempt. And we really teach from the recovery.
So tell me a little bit more about that. If I'm watching this and now this sounds interesting because I really, really wanted to kind of get more in tune with who I am and mm-hmm. be a better parent, be a more impactful parent, what kind of steps do I take? What is this going to look like diving into the Enneagram? I'm imagining going to Google and just like typing it in and being swamped with millions of things that I don't know which one to push on. So sure. Where do I begin? How does my journey start?
Sure. And the beautiful thing about self-awareness is that we can use tools like the Enneagram to create language, but I don't need it, right? I can sort of fill in the gaps for myself too. So if that part of it feels overwhelming to folks, that's okay. We can start to name this work. The Enneagram just puts language to habits and patterns that might be harder for us to see because they're so ingrained, right? They're so in our subconscious. How we parent, how we talk to our spouses, how we talk to the person at the gas station often sits in our subconscious mind and isn't something that we bring out knowingly, right? Like we drive to work every day, we take our kids to school every day, and we get there and we're like, I don't remember taking every turn. That is habit. And our body is looking for things that feel familiar to save resources. And so how we approach the world becomes habitual. I can use the Enneagram to name that approach, or I don't have to. My first step is to begin to notice what I do, right? So noticing work is the equivalent of saying, I'm going to buy a white SUV. And now all of a sudden you see white SUVs everywhere. It's not because they're more prevalent. It's because we've brought it into our way of thinking. We're paying attention to white SUVs. And so we have to learn to notice our behavior. Oh, I notice that when I am hurried or my schedule's really packed, that I lose my patience with my kids really quickly. When I ask them to do something and they don't listen the first time, I get angry, right? Whatever the thing is, we've got to learn to first notice it. And then in the noticing, we learn to start to name it. We create a why behind it. Oh, wow. I really understand that when I ask my kids to do something and they don't listen, that triggers in me the what, the name of not being listened, right? And that's a source of wounding for me. Of it doesn't feel really good when people don't acknowledge me. They don't acknowledge my truth. They don't acknowledge my reality, right? That's a pattern in my life where it's like, I can find myself really needing to be right and arguing for that rightness as a way to be validated. So when my kids don't listen to me, it's just an extension of that same pattern. So I have to notice it and then I have to name it before I can learn to let it go, to release it out of me. And there's some great work around reducing stress and releasing the stress recycle. How do I get it out of my body through breath work or meditation or movement or laughter or connection, right? And then repair the damage that has been occurred within myself or within relationship because of the fracture that occurred from this behavior. So this cycle is all work I do, right? I haven't even interacted with my child yet. It's first figuring out how I move through this cycle. So then I have enough bandwidth to then go meet them where they are and make enough room for what could be true for them. And that's, wow, you know, I could have really hurt your feelings because I lost my temper and you don't understand why, you know, I asked you to transition too quickly. All the things that happen on the other side of our own triggers. So it becomes cyclical work that we do.
And it sounds like something that does not happen overnight. It's a process, something you got to really dedicate yourself to. Could I go online and take an Enneagram for free? Or is this something that you pay for, like some of the other different kinds of personality tests and things like that you could take?
You can go online and take a test. The results vary. The best online Enneagram test is only about 46% accurate. So we have to be willing to fill in the other blanks and to say what's true and what's not true. People can do that. People can do that through reflecting work, for reading, through exploring. I have a free guide, a digital guide you can download to sort of take you through some of those steps to figure out what that looks like. Other people want to just move faster, and you can definitely pay somebody to help you get there more quickly. It's really about personal preference and then how comfortable you are with how fast it goes. But yeah, it's the first step in sort of getting clear about how we move through this with our kiddos.
So tell me a little bit more about what you offer and what you can offer the audience.
Yeah. So my specialty is in behavior change. And so I'm in the cyclical work, right? I often compare what we do for ego development, right? That's awareness work or self-awareness work, as the equivalent of body work. We go to the gym and we work out, and the more we do it, the stronger we get, right? So if I decide all of a sudden that I want to run a marathon, I'm not going to walk in the first day and run 26 miles. Just like if I decide that I want to create more space in my reactivity with my kids, I'm not going to get there the first time, right? It's not, we don't hit the finish line. It is that recovery work, and it's about building strength and resilience. And so I really think about it like the pivot, right? And by knowing your individual personality type, we create a pivot strategy that's unique to you, because it isn't a one size fits all, for sure, right? What motivates you versus what motivates me looks really, really different. My tenderness looks different than your tenderness. And so to build successful strategies, we get to know who you are really quickly. And then we build a cycle around what pivoting looks like for you to make more room for your humanity so that you can make more room for their humanity, right? To allow our kiddos to grow up as full humans, to be fully expressive. And oftentimes we weren't given that as parents. And so we're breaking cycles as we offer this to our kids. And so it is about creating the strategy that works for you. And so I do that through the lens of behavior change. The work that I do is finite. Once you figure out the strategy, you're done with me. Good, right? We can focus on the other tools and resources that we need to continue to meet our kids where they are.
And before I let you go, if there's a parent out there that has a special needs kiddo and is listening to this, and I know you have, you're coming from that area, how exactly would you say you're using this right now with them that's going to say, this is what you should do too? It's really going to help you and your whole family, not only just your child, not just you, but everybody.
Yeah, you know, having a neurodiverse kiddo and also a neurotypical kiddo, I see these strategies working in both buckets beautifully. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that my work is mine, right? My ability to meet my kids where they are is directly proportional to my ability to take care of myself. And so how well I know myself, how well I regulate, how well I recover, how well I get back into my body is not only a model to them about what it looks like, but it's also the way in which I create capacity for my parenting. And so our work is to take care of the container of ourselves as a parent so that we can be the container to help our kids learn to regulate against us, right? So kiddos who thrash and who backtalk and who have big personalities, right? My work is to not squash that. My work is to make room so that they learn how to manage it, because that's what I'm doing. I'm learning to manage my big personality. And the hard part is that I'm learning at the same time I'm teaching, right? And so that's oftentimes where we can get stuck or frustrating is to be teaching from our tender places.
And tell us, if somebody's resonating with you, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can follow me at Living the Enneagram on Instagram. It's a place where I offer loads and loads of free resources. That's part of my work, is to make our awareness work more accessible. So you can give me a follow there or check out my YouTube channel, also Living the Enneagram, and my website where you can learn more about my work.
Thank you, Erin, for being here. It's really great to have you.
Thank you.
And audience, if you have an inspiring story and want to share your story with everyone else so that others can learn from you, please go to theimpactfulparent.com/workwithme and sign up. It's at the bottom of my page there. And if you want to become a more impactful parent, check out all that my website has to offer. I have parenting courses, family coaching, 30-day challenges, and lots of free resources. But until next time, you got this, parents. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. Go to the Impactful Parent website and download the free Impactful Parent app so you don't miss a parenting tip that could help you and your family. Thanks for listening today. So go to theimpactfulparent.com and see you next episode.